Welcome to the Wonder of Eels podcast, and I'm Ruthie Collins, poet, writer and coordinator of Wonder of Eels, a project supported by North Norfolk District Council. And I'm sat here with Andy Warman on Norwich Market on his stall, and we're about to have a chat about his contribution to the exhibition that we held over at Clay Marsh's Visitor Centre. And also just to talk about Andy's own kind of thoughts on the European eel and memories. Part of the project was really to celebrate the fantastic role that the European eel plays in our heritage here in Norfolk, and really try to sort of capture some of these memories of the eel in former years when it was a bit more abundant as a species. So Andy, what were your kind of first memories?
Most of my memories of eels are quite ancient, really. More when I was a boy, really, because I remember being at the seaside and somebody catching an eel off the pier, and it was completely silver, and it was obviously on its way back to the Sargasso Sea. And then there was other times when people were fishing in the rivers and they'd pull an eel out and it'd be crawling all up their arms and up the line. And occasionally I'd see elvers, I've never seen elvers for years, but these tiny little things crawling beside, sometimes in the grass. And then they're the major things I remember personally, but then I knew somebody who used to catch eels, and he used to have eel traps. He was out at Nog Dam End, and he was interested in catching eels. And I think he made the traps himself.
Oh, really?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
They're my major memories on the eel.
Was that as a young lad?
And in my 20s
out and about,
early 30s perhaps, but not much since then at all.
Yeah, that's it. Well, that's partly what this project is about, is trying to map some of those memories and just trace the European eel throughout the landscape of Norfolk, and just help us kind of reconnect to the landscape, but really seeing it as a kind of habitat and home to the European eel. Thank you. We're going to hear more from Andy later on in a future episode of the Wonder of Eels podcast, just sort of really kind of digging into your artistic inspiration and some of the beautiful, amazing pieces that you contributed to the exhibition.
Oh, so thank you.
Thank you, Andy. Cheers.
Oh, you're welcome.
While listening to this podcast, there are also a series of wild wellbeing walks across North Norfolk that you can take with extra bite-sized audio and inspiration from artists who found inspiration for the landscape as habitat to the European eel, along with guidance and practical insights into conservation efforts happening to help the species from Sheringham resident and nature guide Carl Brooker. And if you'd like to write your own eel-inspired poems or work with children or groups to help others, there's also a Wonder of Eels word sheet made especially for the project to go with The Last Eel on Earth, which is available as a PowerPoint to use in class to encourage creativity and descriptive writing.
Eels are mysterious things, but to others they're intriguing. They may be sleek, but sometimes slender. They move, you seek, the more you wonder. Gliding through the sparkly water, most you see them down the river, hiding down at the coral reefs. May the heron love down their beaks. Whooshing waves under space, dancing, bending, let go your grace.
Oh, that's lovely, isn't it? And that was Jenny at Age Concern North Norfolk in Sheringham, sharing one of the many poems written as part of Wonder of Eels by children from Neatsead, Wells Next to Sea and Blakeney Primary Schools, thanks to support from North Norfolk District Council Arts and Culture Fund, Broads Authority, Love the Broads and the Broads Trust.
Now, Daisy, if you get a six again, I'm going to cry.
Oh,
it's a good five. That's okay. No crying.
I've got five. Good job, I can't see the numbers, isn't it? As you say, I was cheating.
You're doing really well, aren't you? You're doing really well.
It says, swim in polluted water. Go back four spaces.
Oh,
I lived in Edinburgh most of the time, and part of Edinburgh was Portobello, right on the coast. And you see them in the fishmongers as well. Unfortunately, you can't go out into the sea and see them so much.
Yeah, but you'd see them a lot in the fishmongers because they were so abundant in the sea that you used to see them a lot being sold. Yeah, which is quite different now, isn't it? Because we don't see them very much in fishmongers at all. Well, at all, really. What did they taste like?
There's too many of these about there. Oh, very good, I think. I can see that.
Oh, there was something on Teddy once, and I don't know if it was a type of eel, and they're literally covered in this slime.
Yeah.
So they can't, physically
really
can't
difficult.
Hold them, they just,
Really hard to hold, yeah. I've only held a really tiny baby elva, and that was about that long, and it wriggled a lot in my hands, but I've not held the big ones.
Really good.
Yeah. It was lovely. It was really lovely.
What
really
made
nice.
You interested in?
In eels, I was funded to research a collection of poetry inspired by the landscape of Norfolk. So Norfolk County Council, they commissioned me to write a poem inspired by nature here in Norfolk, and it sparked this idea for a whole collection. And through doing that, I came across the eel and was just really shocked that it was so endangered, because everyone that I was talking to didn't really know. And so I thought, I'll write a poem and help raise awareness, basically. So it's sort of snowballed from there.
Because I don't think that any of us
realised
that
it
was in danger.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, lots of words in it. Oh, right. Silent. Eater. Healthy. Hider. Sneaky. Hider. Secret. Glides. Shiny. Shiny.
I think that's dinner.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Shiny dinner.
Dinner. Yeah. Because to a lot of
that's
people.
That's what they think they do.
Yes.
Ah.
Yeah, shiny dinner. I think that's shiny dinner. Yeah.
Yeah.
I suppose eels are dinner, aren't they?
Well, they are. Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of people. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
The way my husband used to do that. I suddenly thought it was a very nice thing to say to you, was it?
What's that?
What, that my husband loved to eat them and chase my mother with the head. I thought afterwards that was not nice of me to do that, really.
It's no
but it's part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, it's part of our heritage.
Yes,
it's part of our heritage.
Well, that's right.
So hopefully trying to make the future better.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's also mapping those memories. It's really special.
Yeah, this is going back about, what, I'm 90 now, so it must have been going about 20-odd years at least.
Yeah, so that was just before the number.
More than that, it'd be 50 years.
Yeah, it's the same.
Yeah. Actually, South End, there's the row of cottages that used to sell all these, the cockles and the wilts and the winkles and the eels. You know, it's part of what the people did in that brown bread and butter and a cup of tea and whatever little fish they wanted. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
As I swim through my rivers, they flow and flow while I shiver. I can be red, yellow, or silver. They thirst, jump, and dance, but I wiggle and woggle everywhere. I'll be up, down, all around. You can stab all you want, and you won't stop. Just please don't take a picture.
So this is life on the riverbank.
All right, drifting down the river bends. The beauty of the eel never ends. Grey moonlight shines upon what the eel is dreaming on. The moon is lowing and the river is flowing.
from the eel's birth to its life on earth, but nothing beats the beauty which you meet, the elegant, magical eel. Oh,
isn't that lovely? Quite cute. Really lovely. And there's a little drawing there. So this eel here is the larvae form of the eel, which is called Electocephali.
It's lovely to see the children. You can't believe that children can actually write poetry like that, can you, at that age?
I went into an ordinary school. We didn't do things like that.
No. I mean, and how it's been put together, it's amazing, isn't it? I mean, there's a lot of rhyming words, and I certainly couldn't have done that. Geraldine would, yeah. Your wife would. She'd probably like to read these when she comes in. We'll have to show her the display. Lovely.
Got quite a lot on your picture here, haven't you? Your beautiful art piece. So you've got is that quite a young eel? Yeah? What sort of eel is it? A silver eel. Okay. Oh, so it's quite a grown up eel actually. And can you read out what the eel's saying to us?
Okay, it was distinctly famous for people hundreds of years ago.
Eels used to be food for people. Hundreds of years ago, and actually not that long ago as well, maybe about 100 years ago we used to eat eels a lot, even 60 years ago or so. And what does this say? Can you read that for me? So eels turn in the mud. Oh, they love burying in the mud, eels do. That's lovely. And what does that say? Eels feel real. That's beautiful. It's a really nice start to your poem. Eels feel real. It's got a nice rhyme to it. Eels are long, strong swimmers. Beautiful. That's lovely, really lovely. Have you seen this poem? I think your teacher's going to read it. Just describe your...
There's a jellyfish and a little sea and some seagulls on top, and it's sundown and the eel's trying to eat some fish and he's hungry and there's lots of seaweed.
And we've got one over here as well, thank you. Can you read yours out? Yeah? Can we start? This is right at the start of the poem.
My eel have a sharp teeth and predators from her... Escape from the predators, and my eel hides in mud, and my eel, his name is Leroy.
Is Leroy the eel? Oh, I love Leroy. And what sort of eel is Leroy?
Grey.
He's a silver eel, is he? Yeah. Oh, amazing. Thank you. And what does he say here? My name is Leroy.
Eels adapt to two types of water, salt and fresh water. To stop the water being polluted, we can build factories not close to lakes.
And what's your eel called?
The eel is called Wednesday Adams.
And is Wednesday an elfer or a yellow eel or a silver eel?
No, no.
Black eel, what sort of
eel?
A yellow eel. Okay, lovely. Thank you.
Salty water compared with fresh water because it's not salty. And so the eel's body has to change to survive in a different sort of habitat, a different environment. And that's a really clever thing that eels do. So they start off life as saltwater creatures, sea creatures, and move into freshwater and become freshwater creatures. And then they go back and change from being freshwater creatures to saltwater creatures. Wow. They share the freshwater habitat with all sorts of other things. Some really tiny things. This is a big picture of a tiny animal that's no bigger than a full stop on a page. Imagine a little dot on a page. This is called a water flea. And it's a tiny little creature, but it's the sort of things eels might eat when they're very small. There are millions of them in the rivers, and in still water, tiny little creatures, and they're really important as bottom of a food chain. Does anyone know what a food chain is? Well, a few hands gone up.
Yeah.
Something eats something, then something eats that. Yeah, exactly right. That's a chain of things eating it. So a small creature gets eaten by a bigger creature, which in turn gets eaten by a big creature. So it's a water flea.
Yeah.
And a dragonfly. Put a picture of a dragonfly in, because dragonflies start out life under the water. And they mostly live under the water. Did you know that most of the life of a dragonfly is in a pond or in a waterway? And so it changes as it grows up. And only for a few weeks of the year is it like that. Most of the time it's underwater. And it could be eel food.
And that was residents at Age Concern North Norfolk in Sheringham playing our eels and ladders game. Followed by children at the schools that we worked with, just beginning to write their poems, their eel-inspired poems, followed by Nick Sanderson, Education Officer at the Broads Authority, giving a talk to the children to really just give them some inspiration about the European eel and some of the biodiversity that the eel might encounter in North Norfolk. So I am with Paddy, who is a resident in Biston in North Norfolk. And Paddy is, sorry, how old are you, Paddy?
I'm 55.
55, and he's going to share some memories of his uncle, who was an eel catcher in Norfolk. And he was just telling me about how what his uncle used to do, like how he used to catch them.
Yeah, he used to set them in the evening at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then he'd go to work and do his job, what he do, and then at 6 o'clock in the evening he'd go back down then and
just check. Yeah.
It's good. Yeah. Sometimes he wouldn't get them, but sometimes he would.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It all depends on how they're flowing.
That's it. Do you think that's why he'd do it every night?
Just to see if he can get.
And that would be his eel, his like fish
yeah.
Sunday.
Yeah.
Sunday
fish supper.
Fish supper.
Yeah.
Nice fish supper. It's great. And he was saying like after the war as well.
Yeah.
It's like
yeah, because he's a war baby, you know what I mean? So that's just what they used to do though, isn't it?
Yeah. So kind of it's like living off the land, I suppose, all
well,
the waters.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. And what do you think about the importance of like kind of preserving these memories and passing them?
Well, after speaking to you and like saying like they're all endangered, you know what I mean? I just wish you hadn't done it really, but again, here it is.
Why is it important, do you think, for people to know about the European eel and these memories of...
Well, I didn't realise that they're an endangered species, so, which, you know what I mean, we need to keep that sustainable thing going, you know what I mean, because it's just one of them... It's just one of them things which, because if not, we'll lose it, you know what I mean, which is going to be very sad. If people like myself don't talk about it, then people will not know how it was growing up with an eel catcher.
Yeah.
Which is, because, yeah, you can read it in books and stuff, but when you see it firsthand and how it was done, it is very important.
One of the better things we can do is to kind of think about why the eels are declining. Now, we know that something called PCBs are causing issues with the eels and killing them. Now, PCBs are used in the manufacture of capacitors and transistors in the electronic industry, and it washes into our rivers, washes into our seas, and that's one of the things that is actually killing it. Also, I think there needs to be a lot more research done because... try as many people have over the last 100 years, we're still not fully understanding them. Mm-hmm. And I think with science is getting better and better, I think we need more people to look into what is causing this. Why are they not coming back in the numbers that we'd expect? We know overfishing is one of the issues. We need to get our local and our national government to buy into having eels on the agenda of the new environment bill they're trying to get through Parliament. Now, we came out of the EU some years ago, now 8-9 years maybe. They had, whether you like the EU or not, they had a fantastic environment bill which covered looking after the eels. Mm-hmm. Whether this will appear in our environment bill, I'm not sure. I've certainly spoke to my MP about it and said, when the environment bill comes in, we need to have extra protection for eels. Mm-hmm. Because there is still a certain amount of trade in eels going on. And particularly on places like the Severn, our government could help by limiting the number of catch. Mm-hmm. There's also an illegal trade in eels. There was a case at Heathrow maybe 7-8 years ago where they had glass eels. We're talking about glass eels, which were about up to 5-6 centimetres long. They actually caught 6 tonnes being illegally exported to China. 6 tonnes of eels. I don't know if you can get the concept of how many eels that's going to be. Mm. But it's massive, a massive amount, millions.
Thank you. Yeah, multi-million pounds industry, isn't it? And
yeah,
again, very, very little of public awareness in terms of the trafficking there. So thank you.
Yeah, I think we need to fly the flag for the eel. We really do.
We do, absolutely. Well, hopefully this podcast will help with that, and certainly the exhibition will as well, and along with the World Eel Day celebration. Mm. So thank you. That's brilliant. Really, really good advice. And lots of inspiration there. So thank you, Carl. And looking forward to your talk as well. And that was Carl Brooker talking on why it's so important to protect the critically endangered European eel. And we'll be hearing more from Carl Brooker, nature guide and Sheringham resident, in episode 2 of the Wonder of Eels podcast, where he'll also be recommending a series of wild wellbeing walks that you can try across the North Norfolk landscape to help us reconnect the landscape as habitat to the European eel. He'll also be talking on conservation efforts and just ways to protect the European eel as well. And we're joined by writer Jonathan Walpole, who joins me as we walk. We try out one of Carl's walks over in Blakeney. And we hear from Jonathan Walpole on his thoughts on the North Norfolk landscape and the European eel itself. So thanks again. Thanks for listening. Thanks again to everyone who contributed to this fantastic project. Thanks to everyone at Age Concern, all of the residents who contributed some fantastic readings there of the children's poems. And thanks to all the staff that really supported the residents and collaborated with the residents. They produced a fantastic collaborative art piece that was shared as part of the global World Eel Day celebrations that this Wonder of Eels is part of as a kind of a broader project. So thank you for listening, and we'll see you for the next episode.